Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tuning in to our online affiliates around the world, thanks to our podcast, we're glad you all could be with us as well. If you guys are looking for a great story that will be entertaining and also, of course, give you some characters I think you'll remember, I'm excited about our next guest in segment. We're excited to welcome author Wesley Moore III to our broadcast. We're going to talk to Wesley not only about his own love of storytelling, but also what it's been like for him to literally share that with the world and to be able to see the response to it. The book I had a chance to read is called Today, Oh Boy. We'll talk to Wesley not only about the characters he introduces us to, but also what it's been like for him to see how much that readers are responding to them. If you'll let us know finding out about Wesley and his book, we'll let you know how to stay connected with him as well. Wesley, thank you again for stopping by. Really appreciate the time.
Oh, Cyrus, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hey, glad to do it. So I want to first of all talk about what has to be the most satisfying thing as a storyteller, Wesley, and that is to be able to live with characters, to live with a story for so long, to share them with others, and to see them enjoy them as well. Talk to us about that when it comes to Today, Oh Boy, what it's been like for you to see the response to it.
Well, Today, Oh Boy is a high school novel that takes place in one day in 1970 in a small southern town, Somerville, South Carolina. And so it features lots of characters, teachers, students, and the students are fall into certain categories like jocks, nerds, hippies, because it's 1970. But the secret to novel writing, I think, is characterization, making the characters lifelike so that the readers will care about them. And so I attempt to do that by adding salient details about their backgrounds and describing them physically and giving them unique voices.
And that definitely comes through, Wesley, in the book. And I think the other thing you're able to do with it is to show how that even people who may seem different, how they can come together. And I love that aspect of the story. And also how for some people, as we're able to see in the book, as you talk about the different groups, how there are some people who just don't like people just because they are different. What was that like for you to kind of explore in a book like this?
Well, I grew up in Somerville, South Carolina in 1970, just when a counterculture was arising. It came a little bit late to the South. And also, people were moving in from the North and sort of upsetting the status quo. Somerville was an economically diverse town, and there were some boys who really disliked Northerners, and they disliked hippies. And they were prone to violence. Fighting was sort of their pastime. And so we have a couple of characters in the novel from that area who create conflict with Ollie, a character who's just recently moved from Minnesota, and Rusty, a lifetime Somerville resident, but one who's more liberal in his outlook than the typical Somerville citizen of 1970.
And there is this idea of togetherness, Wesley, as well as, of course, dealing with outside circumstances. One of the most relatable parts of the book for me, to be quite honest with you, was when you had a group of the characters talking about sirens. And I think growing up in the South myself, we all try to figure out, when we hear a siren, what is it? Where is it going? And one of the things that you say in the book between the characters is a lot of times when we hear sirens, we automatically personalize it. We think it has something to do with ourselves, and one of the characters makes the statement, it never does, and the other one corrects them and says, I wouldn't say never. What was that like for you to kind of explore, too? I mean, I think it does kind of remind us of life, the simple things in life, but also, of course, how things can disrupt that simple life.
Well, the town the novel set in 1970 had 3,500 people living there. And so when you would hear a siren going through town, chances are you knew the person. There were two events that happened, tragic events, when I was a boy growing up there. One was that a family of were driving along, a mother, her three daughters, and her son. They were in a horrific auto crash, and all three girls died. And the sirens were just going forever and ever. And another time, one of my father's friends, my father was an amateur pilot, his friend crashed his biplane and was killed, and the sirens were going on and on and on and on. And I just, whenever I hear one, even today, less so than back then, I just worry, of course. Not, it might be someone I know, but just for the sadness in general with anyone.
Yeah, I think that is it. And I think, you know, as with this book, as you mentioned, dealing with the age of the characters primarily, and also their experiences and sometimes lack of experience kind of brings them together in an interesting way as well. And I think, too, it also shows life, how life can happen to all of us regardless of where we are. What was it about storytelling, Wesley, for you initially that kind of drew you to it, that made you say, this was something I wanted to do?
Well, when I was in the fourth grade, we were asked to write a little story about something that actually happened to us. And the story was a boy, a friend of mine and I were sitting on a tree out on the side of the road in our subdivision, and we would throw rocks on the road just for fun. And he threw a rock that unfortunately hit a car. He didn't intend to do that. And he panicked, and the limb broke that he was on, and he fell to the ground. So when the car pulled up, it was just me sitting there on the limb, and the family in the car started fussing at me, and I'm not proud of this. I said, I didn't do it. He did. And so I wrote that story, and the class just loved it. The teacher loved it. And so I thought, wow, this is something I can do. I'm pretty good at. In high school, I won the writing award. And then once I graduated from college and I was married, I started writing short stories, and I was having some success doing that, publishing them. But then my late wife, Judy Birdsong, and I had a child, and she wanted to quit her work and stay home with the baby. So I ended up getting a job teaching high school, but I found that I could not write and teach at the same time. Teaching took up too much of my mental energy. So I started publishing a blog, and I'd write a short story now and then. But once I retired, I went ahead and wrote this novel, Cadeo Boy, and it's based on my high school experience, both as a child and as a teacher.
So for you then, Wesley, I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, does it almost feel like full circle moments for you of being able to not only return to that time in your life, but also return to your love, which is storytelling and sharing this?
Yeah, it's creating characters, and it's really a whole lot of fun. It's you become godlike with a lowercase g. You know, you're able to create these people. And once I create characters, I don't preconceive what they're going to do or how they're going to behave. I give them personalities, and I let them run around and do what I think they would actually do. And so it's really, really a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I know people are enjoying it as well. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, welcome. You're listening to Conversations Live. We're speaking with author Wesley Moore III about his love of storytelling, what it's been like for him to take us back to a nice part of his life, but also lessons that he's now able to share in the book today, Oh Boy. We're going to also remind you he can stay connected with Wesley as well. So, Wesley, I want to talk about the readers for a second. I mean, I read this book having never been to, of course, the area, but kind of feeling the nostalgia of it, right, and the simpler way of life. Talk to us about what it's been like for you to see how that is something that has resonated with readers. There are no cell phones. There's nothing about computers or AI or, you know, or the things that kind of populate the world today. What has it been like for you to hear how readers have enjoyed going back to this time that you give us in the book?
Yeah, they really do, and the only media we have in the book, or record players, stereos, car radios and 8-track cassette players. And so the novel alludes to the music of the time and some of the political events of the time. And so it was a time in which the three-dimensionality of reality was experienced rather than a virtual iteration of so-called reality. So things were simpler, and storytelling among Southerners is a pastime. And back then, that's how we used to entertain ourselves, telling stories, not fictional stories about the time we rolled our Volkswagen over or about the time we got sent to the office. And so things were simpler. And in a sense, I mean, of course, I'm 72 years old. I don't want to sound crabby, but things were, I think, more resonatively cool back then, that you could smell things, you could see things, we experience nature up front, not through a screen.
Yeah. I want to talk about AJ and AJ's mom, Annie. Well, Annie's parents, maybe I should say more broadly. I thought it was interesting when you kind of talked more about them, again, thinking about the time period that you read, that you were writing this book in, Wesley, of course, to see how they were, AJ's parents, being really inspired by Dr. Spock's techniques that so many people have now talked about. Talk to us about that, what it was like you creating the parents, because I think that's another interesting part of this story, of how the parents' rearing, the parents' embrace and freedom in some cases, allowed the children to be able to explore and to experience.
Yeah, well, AJ's father's a lawyer, and they're among the upper crust of Somerville, South Carolina, and they're atypically liberal. Somerville was a very conservative place. It still is, but South Carolina's a red state. But Alex's parents, AJ stands for Alex Jensen, are different. Alex, of course, brings in a National Lampoon to school, gets in a lot of trouble. His teacher and the principal call his father in, and they're tutting and calling the magazine pornography. And Alex's father says, look, it's 1970, Brown versus Board of Education. It's in 1954. The school's not fully integrated. I'd be worrying about that instead of this. Of course, he should be punished, but this is no huge deal. And so Alex, of course, is influenced by his parents, AJ is. And so he and Rusty are actually sort of left of center in Somerville.
Great. And I think that is one of the cool things about it. Again, the camaraderie that we see throughout the book. But also, of course, the lessons, I think, in many ways that a lot of us can kind of take from it as well. What was it like for you going back to this time? Talk to us about what you felt in being able to write this book, Wesley, and to think about what was and how different the world is today.
Well, it was sort of easy for me to write the book because when writing it brought back memories. I was influenced by James Joyce's Ulysses, and that's a novel that takes place in one day in Dublin, Ireland, and it features lots of different characters. So as I started writing the book, I would recall homeroom, I would recall what my teachers were like, and because I was a high school teacher for 34 years, I know teaching inside and out. I know what it like to be sent to the principal's office, and I know what it's like to send a student to the principal's office. So it was, so the two sort of Venn diagrams of the past and the present, or there's a lot of shading in the middle of that.
Yeah, love that. And the actual see the book published, what was it like for you to be able to hold it and to see it all come together the way that it has?
Oh, it's been absolutely wonderful. The cover itself, the novel's published by Austin McCauley, and they're based in London and in New York. And I asked them, would it be okay if I got an artist friend of mine to do the cover instead of having them do it? And they said, Sure. I guess it would save the money anyway. And so a close friend of mine, David Boatwright, he's a superb painter and also a filmmaker, but he paints murals all over the Lowcountry. He read the novel and manuscript and created the cover, which is sort of a frozen montage of what happens in the novel. There's a red Mustang that's involved in a high-speed chase. There's a basset hound who plays a role in the novel, and two of the characters there. So just seeing that cover and my name on the cover was very, very gratifying indeed.
Yeah. Well, it's a great story, Wesley. Great conversation with you about it. I'm so glad to be able to have read it myself and now to be able to share with our audience. Again, everyone, Wesley Moore III has been our guest. Today, Oh Boy, is the book. Of course, you can get it through our friends at Amazon.com. As you heard Wesley mention, there is published by Austin McCauley. You can also go to their website at AustinMcCauley.com. And, Wesley, you have a website as well. Let our audience know how to stay connected with you.
Yeah, it's as in Wesley, L, as in Lee, M, as in Moore, 3, the Arabic numeral, the number 3, .com. Also, if the listeners would go to Kirkus Reviews or if they went to the Barnes & Noble to buy the book, there's a review of the book there, and it gets a nice little plot summary.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you, congratulations again to you, Wesley. So excited for you to be able to share this story and looking forward to our next conversation together.
Okay, Cyrus, thank you. This has been excellent questions, and I really enjoyed answering them. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Wesley. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.